Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
2019 here at North Point, we have already declared this is our year of
acceleration.
And, we have been in a series for the last few weeks entitled Accelerate. And what we've been talking about is how excellence is the X factor in our acceleration. If we're going to go further, faster in these last 4 months of 2019, then we need to raise the level of excellence in these areas of our lives. And actually, today was kind of just going to be just kind of a one-off Sunday, just kind of a standalone Sunday in terms of the sermon that was preached. And we're starting a brand new series next week, and it's going to be awesome. You need to be here. We're going to be handing out devotionals and journals for everybody that comes for the next few weeks. So you want to make sure you come and you get that devotional. As a community, we're going to be going through the book of Philippians. We're going to be reading through that together. And the series is entitled Morning Joy. How do you have joy every morning, regardless of your situation or your circumstance? Paul wrote the book of Philippians from a prison. And if he could find joy in a prison cell, how many of you know you can find joy in your home? You can find joy in what you're going through. And that's what we're going to be talking about in these next few weeks. But today, we decided to go in a different direction. And we're going to give you a little bit more about what we've been talking about in this Accelerate series, because we've been getting so much feedback from people and say, wow, this series, man, what we're talking every week. And so we just decided we would do a little recap. So whether you were here for all 4 weeks or whether you weren't here for one of the last 4 weeks, I promise you today, you are going to find some value and you are going to walk out really happy that you came to church today. We're taking all of this from the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. This has kind of been our theme scripture for all of our weeks, and it says this: stay away from the evil things a young person like you typically wants to do. Do your best. Everybody say best.
Best.
Do your best. Not kind of try. Not halfway is okay. But do your best to live right, to have faith, love, and peace together with others who trust in the Lord with pure hearts.
Together with others. I love how community's right there. So in week one of this series, Philip talked about behaviors, how we have to pay attention to our behaviors if we want to do our best. And he said that the way I'm behaving shapes the life. You said it, right? You said it.
Poor grammar, great truth.
Yes, it's true.
Yes.
Because it really is true. The way I behave is going to shape my future. And then enthusiasm, week two. That enthusiasm is not just getting excited, even though that's wonderful. It's not just the momentum we have from when we realize something new, but it also is an opening and an opportunity for God to work through us. And so we called it enthusiasm.
You guys are doing so good right now. I mean, they have remembered that. Be having enthusiasm.
Yes, they remembered it without any help whatsoever. Okay, week three, we talked about strategies, right? We talked about strategies.
Yes.
And you know, this is the thing, is that the Word of God and living in community will give you so many strategies for the things that you are facing. If you're a new mom, you don't have to do that alone. You have a community of people who want to help you with strategies. If you're newly married and you're dealing with all of that, there's a community of people. There's actually a group that is just for marriage this fall. It's an incredible thing. You can get in and you can get strategies for living that life. But the strategy we talked about was one that really affects our entire country, because it's the culture of our country, and it's stop speculating. Mm. Because we live in a speculation culture. We live in a culture that likes to think, what if? And do you think they like me? And oh my goodness. And what do you think so-and-so is going to do? And what do you think is going to happen here? We live in that kind of turmoil. But if we want to have love and peace and joy, then we are going to, and faith, then we're going to have to stop speculating. We're going to have to stop speculating.
And then last week, we kind of wrapped up that series, and what we talked about was our thoughts, right? Our thoughts. And we said that our mindset comes from what we set our mind on. The mindset that we live with today comes from what we've set our mind on. So we have to make sure that we are fixing our mind on the right things. We've got to make sure that we're thinking in the right way, because we understand that our thoughts are directing our lives. And so whenever you are around here, you know we're always building some acrostic. And so when it's a four-week series and I've had you say the same word best every single week as we read it in the scripture, you realize, oh, I bet they're creating an acrostic for the word best. And that's what we've been doing. Because if you really want to live right and to have faith, hope, and love, you got to make sure that your behaviors, your enthusiasm, your strategies, and your thoughts are all in alignment. We cannot fulfill the assignment that God has for us until we get these areas in our life in proper alignment, because we have to do our best if we're going to live right and have these things in our lives.
Absolutely, and they work together. They're not just separate, they work together. So when we change a behavior, maybe it's just one small thing, it will give us a little bit of enthusiasm because we go, wait a second, I actually made a change. Something altered in my life. I can do that. But more than just the natural enthusiasm from seeing something change, it opens a door for God to work through us. And then we go, wow, you know, if that worked, then what if I get some additional strategies going on in my life? And we lean into an area. And then it starts to change the way we think about a subject, about a person, about an activity. And ultimately, it really changes the way we think about God and ourselves.
Absolutely. And so whenever we go through this acrostic, what we're going to show is that this thing works up and down the ladder, okay? And I'm just going to tell you this right up front. This is why two is better than one. Because I've been telling you last week, no, you got to start with your thinking is the foundation, and you work yourself back up. We've been looking at the process to change, and it starts with believing and thinking and being and behaving, and then that determines the life we're building. We've been going through all of this, and then this week, Destiny brings it up to me, and she goes, you know it works the other way, too. And I said, no, it doesn't. And she goes, no, really, it does work the other way. And I said, no, you got to start with things. She goes, no, you can start with your behaviors. And she started going through a series, and honestly, she convinced me.
But you know what? You taught me this.
Please continue on. Share with everyone.
No, you did. I thought about it. I thought about it in between services.
Wow, come on.
Where this really came from in my life. Because many of you know I struggled a lot with anxiety and depression. And just feeling like hopeless feelings. And I struggled with my view of God. Mm. I just really believed that that I had done too much in my life for God to really love me and for him to accept me as I am. Now, you have to understand my background is I didn't even chew gum in church because, you know, you didn't do that, all right? But the devil tells us all the same lie.
Mm.
He tells us all the same lie because it's partially true. None of us are good enough for God to love us.
Mm.
None of us can earn salvation. We need God's grace. God chose to love us while we were yet sinners, right? That's when he died for us. That's the truth of the gospel. And so the enemy will come to us with these lies. And that was something that I struggled with, was really believing that God was for me. My view of God was that he was very angry with me and mostly disappointed. But I started dating this guy, and he's convinced that he is God's favorite all the time, right? Like, you can't unconvince him of that. I tried. You cannot unconvince him
of that.
And so he introduced a new behavior into my life.
Yeah.
He wrote out declarations and had me put them on my mirror. And I hadn't changed the way that I thought. But I started declaring over my life truth every single day. Every single day, I started declaring truth about how God felt about me, about how he loved me, about how he saw me. And I started to get a little happy because some of the symptoms of how I felt started to change. And I went, man, this is good. Like, he actually knows something. This is good. This behavior's actually made a difference in my life. I could tell a difference in what was going on. And then I said, you know what? If this is true, then maybe I should do a little research to back up what I'm saying over my life. And I started leaning into a strategy, and I started being more consistent with reading the words of God over my life. I started being a little bit more consistent with praying prayers, not just that were pity prayers, but praying prayers like, God, I know you love me. God, I know you care for me. I know you see me today, and declaring my faith. And it eventually began to change the way that I thought. And it changed my life.
Wow. You know, I'm so glad. We're just having a public time of confession here. I'm so glad that you said that, because honestly, and I didn't even tell you this when we were having the discussion, it was that very thing that caused me to think and go, oh, what she's saying is right. It does work the other way, because I couldn't figure out where to put the declaration, because declaration is such an important part. And if you've been around here for any length of time, you know, we say our declaration before every service, I am a child of God. We finish with an acceleration declaration that we say at the end of everything. If you come to Girl on Purpose Night, there's going to be you got your own declaration. I mean, we are some declaring people in this house. And here's the reason why. Yeah, go ahead. Clap for that. Because we believe in the power of declaration, and we believe the declaration changes things. So when we got into our conversation this week about this, and I say, no, everything starts with your believing and your thinking, and you were saying, no, it actually works the other way. It works the other way too. You can start with a behavior and work your way through that acrostic. The thing that convinced me of that is when I thought about, well, where does declaration come in? Because I don't always think it before I start declaring it. I don't always think it, but I believe so much in the power of declaration, and it's interesting that we both came to this same conclusion, that declaration is where this really works, is because you can start declaring some things over your life. You can start declaring some truths over your life, and when you start declaring that truth, it will work. It will work. If you start with that behavior, it will work to build that enthusiasm.
Well, and you know, since we're just going there.
Might as well.
Let's
this
talk
is 11:15. You never know what happens in this service.
Let's talk about how this goes with parenting and with marriage.
Come on, let's do it.
Because really, you know, there was a time in our marriage, because we work together now. We didn't always, but we work together. We're doing all these different things. And you can get to the point where you're not sure if you're on the same team, right?
That's good.
And you have to be on the same team in order to succeed in marriage.
Yeah,
you just really do. If you want to have a great relationship, it cannot be me versus him, right? We win or we both lose. Either way.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not I won or he won or whatever. It's we win or we lose. Either. And so there's been different times in our marriage where I can tell that we're struggling with that thought, and we will begin to speak out loud in the middle of a conversation what we've decided about our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so you'll look at me and you'll say, hey, I know you're for me. I know that you're with me. I know that you love me. I know that you think that I'm smart. I know that you think I'm capable. I know that you think I'm a great dad. I know you think that I'm a great leader. And I'm going, yes, I do. And we can stop even in the middle of an argument and allow that declaration to go all the way through and change the way we're thinking. And it changes. It goes back the other way.
Yeah.
It starts to change our behaviors.
Yeah.
And the same thing with parenting, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have some things that we want our children to think about themselves. So from the time that Carolina could even speak before that, we started declaring over her. But today, the most important thing they do before they leave the house, I'll be real, sometimes they don't brush their teeth, but they're going to say their declaration.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Because God gave us dentists, but I need the word of God to be inside their heart
yeah.
before they get to school.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, please let your kid brush your teeth. Okay, sometimes they do, but seriously.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can feel hopeless as a parent because we're not seeing the change. But we can add those kinds of behaviors, and it can change everything.
Absolutely. Some of those behaviors can change. And now it's interesting because what you'll find in life is that it works down the acrostic and back up the acrostic. So even if you start changing some behaviors, you were sharing one earlier, like about going to the gym or changing exercise or diet, right? Yeah, why don't you just share that for a second?
Absolutely. So, you know, whenever we talk about making changes, right? If you start to talk about food, everybody gets offended because it's cultural and it's identity. And you may say, no, believe me, start asking people in Louisiana the proper way to make gumbo and you will make enemies, right? Start talking about whole food plant-based and you're going, like, people just start, they won't talk to you anymore, right? If you start messing with people's identity, they get a little bit discombobulated, and food is a core part of our identity. It's a core part of how we see the world. And so last year, Philip and I went through this experiment where for 8 months we went vegetarian, okay? I was not a let's say, an initiator of that activity. Philip said, I think we need to try this. And so we started in January, and we didn't know how long we were going to go. And for the first 3 months, all I cooked was Thai curry. Sorry about that, babe, but it was the only vegetarian dish I knew, right? And so, you know, but we started changing our behavior, and we started feeling better. Our bodies felt better. We had more energy. Things just were going better in our life. And we were like, man, this is pretty great. We got a little bit of enthusiasm. And then I started like getting some strategies because I started reading about, you know, what to cook. And I got more than one recipe and all those kinds of things. And we started having some variety and whatever. And eventually after that 8 months, our way that we view food and therefore ourselves has changed forever. Mm-hmm. It's changed forever. And so now, because we have this different way of thinking about food, when we're not feeling well, when we're feeling lethargic, all of these things, we instantly have a new strategy to try. We say, man, we're not feeling very energetic. Let's change what we're eating this week. Hey, we've got a lot going on. Let's add in a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that, because we started to see food not as a cultural and identity reinforcer, but as an actual drug that we can use to get the results that we want in life.
Absolutely. And take it maybe even like going to the gym, because if you change your behavior and I'm going to go to the gym with you and I don't really want to go to the gym, I'm not very motivated to go to the gym. I really don't want to change. But you're like, no, come on. You need to go. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with you. I'll do it with you. And I changed that behavior of waking up early. I start going to the gym a few days a week. Okay, now I start getting a little more enthusiasm. I start feeling a little bit better, right? And now I'm like, oh man, maybe I've got some strategies for some other things in my life that can change. And if I can now wake up an hour earlier and I can start getting myself in better shape, well, man, what else could I possibly do in my life? And so I start getting some strategies to change some other things, and then I start changing my thinking about what's possible. Wow, I really can change. Wow, I really can be that person that wakes up early. I can be the person that does hard things. I can be a person that gets comfortable being uncomfortable. I can become that person. But when you start with a behavior, I want you to understand this. As you work yourself down to that thinking, your thinking has to change if you want to sustain the behavior change.
That's right.
Because if your thinking doesn't change, if you start with your behavior and you're changing your behaviors and you're excited about it and you're eating the right foods and you start going to the gym and you start doing those things and you're doing the behavior and you're getting a little more excited about it, but you don't take it all the way down to changing the way that you think about yourself and about your future and about what's possible and about limitations and all of these things. If you don't change that, then what's going to happen is the old behaviors that you used to have will come back into your life because you did not change at the very core. And we find this actually in the scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. What's that talking about? This is talking about a behavior change. Throw off an old way of talking. Throw off an old way of behaving. Throw off this old thing that used to keep tripping you up. Get rid of that. It says, and run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. Now, I don't know about you, but enthusiasm is a part of endurance. If I'm going to endure and persevere, I've got to have some enthusiasm. I got to have God working through me. So as I do this behavior and I get rid of some things out of my life, I clean out my closet, I get rid of some of this stuff, I start feeling a little enthusiasm, like, okay, I can make it. I can keep going. Today's not the day to quit. No, I'm going to make it through this season. I'm going to get through this difficulty. I'm feeling some enthusiasm begin to build in my life. And then it says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's a strategy. That's a strategy. And I say, oh, every day I can fix my eyes on Jesus. Every day I can get my eyes off of my problems and put them on Jesus. Every day I can get my eyes off on what is going wrong and I can put it on the one who is right. Every day I can get my eyes off of all the lies and put them on the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. I can fix my eyes. That is a strategy for me. And when I fix my eyes on Jesus, guess what? It's going to change the way that I think about everything in my life. I start thinking, well, wait a minute. I fix my eyes on him and I start thinking that wow, the word of God is true. I really am more than a conqueror. I really am an overcomer. No weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. I can do all things through Christ who is strengthening me. And it begins to change the way that I think. But please notice, if you just stop at the behavior and say, I'm just going to throw this off of my life, those things that you threw off, those hindrances, they are coming back. That sin that tripped you up is going to trip you up again. Unless you go all the way through and you let it start changing the way that you think. And as it changes the way you think, you know what it's going to give you? It's going to give you greater strategies. And you're going to say, you know what I need to do? I need to join a group at North Point Community Church. I need to get around people who can help me. I need to get around people who are going to encourage me. You know what else? I got to change some of my friend groups. I got to stop talking to some people. I'm just getting strategies. Why? Because my thoughts are changing. What's possible is changing. How God can move in me and move through me and the plans that he has for my future. All of these things start changing. And so now I start seeing new strategies. And when I start applying those strategies, guess what happens? When I leave my group, I am more enthusiastic than ever before. The Spirit of God is stirred on the inside of me. It's moving in me and it's moving through me. And then guess what that's going to do? It's going to enable me to have the behaviors that I need to have when it comes to the next day. And I wake up and I'm still living off of the enthusiasm of the Spirit of God. And I can begin to change some of the things that I haven't been doing, and I can change some of the things that I have been doing that I need to stop doing. I can do all of that. Why? Because I'm working up and down this chain because it all works together. Yeah. And it works for every area of our life. It works for our physical life. It works in our marriage. This works in our parenting. This works in our emotions. It works in every area of our life.
It does. It works in every area. And you can see it right there in the scripture because it tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Which when you really get down into your heart that Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter, it will change so much about your journey of Christianity.
Yes.
When you realize that he didn't just save you and then leave you alone, but that he is with you every step along the journey, it changes so much about the way that you view church, the way you view the Bible, about all of those different things. But then it also says this. It says, for the joy set before him, he, who's he? Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says, consider him, so think about him, who endured such opposition from sinners. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Mm. See, just monitoring your behaviors over and over again, having what we would call a fear-based religion rather than a faith-based relationship will wear you out.
Right, right.
It'll wear you out. that, you know, you do a little bit better and you get a little enthusiasm, but then you haven't changed any of your strategies, so you haven't changed your habits, right? And you haven't changed the way that you think. So when life gets busy, do you know what we all revert back to? We all revert back to our original behaviors. And then we get discouraged and we go back on and we're just going like this over and over again. And then eventually we get weary and we drop out and we wonder and we say, you know what? None of this worked in the first place. But we didn't allow Jesus to take us all the way through that journey of showing us that there is more, of spending our time thinking about him, of spending our time letting him develop those habits in our life so that we could then tackle more of our behaviors. And then it says in Romans 12, 2, it explains this to us, the importance of changing the way that we think. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In other words, be a culture changer, not a culture acceptor, right? But let God, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith, right, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you can learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We have to have both sides, because there are people who just stick with that thinking and strategizing. You know, they're professional thinkers and strategizers. They just want to talk all about God. They want to talk about all the theory. They want to talk about all the theology. But when you look at their lives, they're pretty messed up because they haven't taken the thinking and the strategizing and put it into practice, because we have to work out our salvation. Because as you're working through actually trying to be a servant of all in your marriage, hello, at your job, right? In all these different situations, you will learn some things that will put some practicality to your strategies.
There's no doubt. And we've looked at this kind of this process of the life that we're building. We've kind of looked at this throughout this series. And we basically said that the life that we are building, it comes directly from our behaviors. And we need to understand that today, that the life that we have today comes from the behaviors we had yesterday and the day before that. Now, you might say, no, the reason I am the way I am is because I had a traumatic event that happened in my childhood, or I had this. And I am not saying that that wasn't traumatic. I'm not saying that that wasn't painful. But we need to understand, we cannot blame other people for where we are. It may have started some poor behaviors, but it is the behaviors of our life that have built the life that we have. Now, where did those behaviors come from? Those behaviors come out of who I am. Out of my being. It is out of me that those behaviors flow. But where do I get my being and who I am, my overall attitude to life? That comes from my thinking. And where do I get my thinking? My thinking comes from what I have believed. And we've been working ourselves through this, and it works the same as that acrostic, right? If you want to work your way from behaviors and enthusiasm and strategies and thinking, let me just show you how this works. And this works in the positive and in the negative. Okay, let me show you just real quickly how you can get into the wrong, building the wrong life through thinking and believing the wrong things. Let me just show you this. If you today believe that nobody really cares about you, if you believe that nobody understands you, you believe that nobody can help you, you believe that that there is nobody who's going to stand with you, nobody's going to be there for you when you need them, that is your underlying belief. Okay, when you believe that, then what is your thinking going to be? Your thinking is going to be, I'm all alone. I have to do it myself. Nobody is going to help me, assist me, encourage me, going to be there for me. I've got to do it alone. Well, what kind of being is that going to create in your life? That's going to create a way of being that says, I am hopeless. I am living in despair. Well, what kind of behaviors are going to come out of a hopeless and feeling of despair in the being? What kind of behaviors? It's going to be behaviors that reinforce who you are. And then I say, what kind of life that I'm building? I am building a life that is centered out of hopelessness, discouragement, and despair. That's the life that I have built. How did I build that life? Because I had a limiting negative belief. But watch how we can change that. If you want to start with you, if you want to start with your thinking, or if you want to start with your behaviors and start declaring things over your life that you do believe to be true, you just haven't put them into practice in your life, and you believe that God loves you. What happens when I begin to declare, I am not alone because God is with me. God is there for me. God will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. Even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me. What if we took it one step forward and said, not only is God with me, but God has people in this room who want to walk with me. God has a place for me to surround me with people that love me and care about me. People understand where I am. People have gone through what I'm going through. They have been there, and they want to help me and guide me through this process. Now, instead of being hopeless and despair, now I'm expecting and anticipating every single day to see, oh, wait a minute, God, you are with me. God, I see how you're with me. I feel that you're with me. And God, not only that, God, I see people in the room that you are sending to encourage me, to stand with me, to pray with me, to walk with me. God, I see it now. So now I have a different way of being. What is that going to create in my life? Different behaviors. Now I'm not going to talk to myself and have self-pity parties, and you're all alone, and nobody cares about me, and your kids grew up and forgot about you, and your spouse doesn't care about what you're going through, and they don't want to hear about what you are all alone. And you begin to say other things, that I am not alone, because I believe that God is with me. And if God is for me, God's going to send people around me to be a friend and to be a counselor and to be a guide. God's going to send people to help me through this season of life. And as I change the behaviors, I change the life that I'm building. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you want to start with your behaviors or you want to start with your thinking. Either way, you come up and down that acrostic, you are going to get to the same place that says, I have got to start thinking different thoughts. I have got to start being different on the inside so that I can change those behaviors in my life so that I can build a different life. Yeah. That's the way that we get there. And it's powerful. And it doesn't matter today. As Destiny said, when she started that process and she was talking about that journey, feeling like that God couldn't love me, she wasn't worthy of love and all of those things. And she started from a behavior that I literally wrote the declarations on a note card, taped them on her mirror, and said, and gave her the instructions. I didn't leave it up to her. I said, say this every morning, say this every afternoon when you get back from class, and say this every night when you go to bed, and I will be calling you to make sure that you did that. Out of that behavior came these different things. And it began to change the way that she thought about herself and her relationship with God. And when you begin to change the way that you think about yourself and change the way you think about God, can I tell you, everything else in your life is going to begin to change. God can use somebody like me to build his kingdom. God wants to use somebody like me to be a blessing to the people that are around me. God loves me for who I am. What are we talking about right now? And I start changing the way that I think. And it starts changing everything else in my life. You see, there's no way that we can do our best to live right if we don't get these four things in alignment with him. There's no other way. There's no other way. And you know what? I'm just going to stand up for a minute. We've been living this out in the negative for far too long. We've been letting the enemy put limiting beliefs over our lives. Believing that I'm not worthy to be loved, believing that I'm not good enough to really have a seat at the table. Maybe I can fit over there at the kids' table, but I don't really get a seat at the adult table. I don't get a seat at God's table. Yeah, maybe God will let me into heaven, but there's no way God's going to let me live the abundant life while I'm here on earth. Yeah, God might let me sneak in the back door of heaven, but there's no way God's going to use me. Can I tell you, that's because we've been convinced of a limiting belief that the enemy has spoken over our lives. Was it no wonder why we think about what we believe? And so we start thinking, yeah, I'm not really good enough. Yeah, there I go again. There I go again, saying that again. I know I shouldn't say that. And I've got this belief that says I'm not good enough. So now I'm thinking, yep, that's just confirming it. And then my being, I'm like, come on. I've been in church for 3 years. I've been in church for 30 years. I should be further along than this. So what happens in my being? I get hopeless. A sense of despair. Disappointed again in myself. Okay. And I go right back into that thought pattern. Yeah, that's because you're not good enough. You're always going to be disappointed because you're not really good enough. God's not really going to be there for a person like you. I mean, he's there for Pastor Destiny. He's there for Pastor Philip, and he's there for the missionaries around the world, and he's there for other people. But you know what? He's not really there for you. That's how I think. And it goes all the way back to a belief that says, I'm just not good enough. I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy to be loved like that. And that's in our being. And so is it any question when we're in our being like that, that the behaviors that start coming, you know what comes out of our life sometimes, behaviors, and I call these self-sabotaging behaviors? Because what we think and believe to be true, and it is in our being, so many times our behaviors actually sabotage the success we could have, because what we are really attempting to do, even subconsciously, is prove ourselves right. We don't even know we're doing it. Behaviors are coming out of my life, and I could change some of my behaviors. I could throw off some of those hindrances. That could be the way that I get into the game. But I keep the wrong behaviors, and I keep sabotaging success and sabotaging breakthrough and sabotaging my next level because I want to prove myself right about what I believe and what I think and what's in my being, and it comes out in my behaviors. And then I look at the life that I'm building, and guess what? It just convinces me that my belief is really true. Look at the life that you have. Come on, let's go 2 more minutes and let me just be very real with you. We look at our life and we're like, my life really wouldn't be described as abundant, overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience. My life's not really overflowing with purpose and power. That's not really, I'm not really living the abundant life. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came for you, and what I came to give you, according to John 10:10, he said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it in the full, that you would have it in abundance until it overflows. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard that scripture. You've even said, I believe that. But if we were honest, the life that I've built over here doesn't look like that. Okay, so now I'm in a dilemma. Because is that really true? Is that really possible? Here's what we say. Nah, not for somebody like me. Not for somebody that's done what I've done. Not for somebody that's been through what I've been through. Not for somebody that's hurt others the way that I've hurt them. Not for somebody that's been hurt by others the way that I've been hurt by others. My life doesn't look like abundant. If we really trace it all the way back, it's really because we've been convinced by a limiting belief that says, you're not worthy of abundance. You're not good enough for abundance. So how do I get a different life? You start one or two places. We gave you the blueprint. You can start these behaviors and say, you know what? I'm gonna start showing up to church every Sunday. That's one thing that I can control. I've never done that before in my life. I'm gonna start showing up every Sunday. Because man, whenever I come on Sunday, it is a great experience. Every Sunday, whenever I leave, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You know what that's called? That's called enthusiasm. Man, I'm just a little bit more excited about life. I just feel a little bit lighter. I feel a little bit stronger. That's enthusiasm. When I wake up on Monday, I feel a little different after I went to church on Sunday. And when I feel that enthusiasm, guess what? That's going to give me some more strategies. I'm like, you know what, man? They said they're going to be handing out those journals next week. Going through the book of Philippians, I bet there's going to be some good stuff in there. So I'm going to go next week. I'm going to get a journal, and I'm going to go through the journal. I'm going to read through. I'm going to see what God can do. It's just a strategy. I'm going to begin to do something different. I got to do something I've never done if I want a life that I've never had. So I got to put a different strategy in. And as we go through that strategy, right, what's going to begin to change is my thinking. It's going to begin to change my thoughts about how God sees me and what God can do in me and what God wants to do through me. It begins to change. And man, as those thoughts begin to change, I start working myself back up. And now I get brand new strategies. And I start seeing, man, I can join a group. I can join a serve team here at North Point. I can begin to be used by God on any Sunday in Baby Village, in Kid City, helping people park, greeting people in the front door, production team. I can do all of these things. And I start getting different strategies to get plugged in so that God can continue to mold me and God can continue to make me. And guess what happens? I get more and more excited, and God's spirit keeps moving on the inside of me. And then it takes me all the way to my behaviors. And now I've got new behaviors in my life. And guess what I see on this other end? I see I'm beginning to build a brand new life. Yes, amen. And it all happened because some of those limiting beliefs got crushed. He said, I'm not hanging on to those anymore. I'm tired of living in that life. Yes. I'm going to change that. See, wherever you want to jump in today, if you're the person that wants to jump into the behavior, fine. Jump into behavior, but take it all the way down to the thinking. If you're more a person like me and you want to start by changing the way you think, and that's the way you want to start, and you want to work it all the way up, either way, I want to challenge you today. Jump into the best. Come on. Jump into the best. Jump into doing your best so that you can have faith, so that you can have love, so that you can have peace. You have to do your best so that you can have what God wants you to have. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. I don't know where you might find yourself today. Maybe today you say, Philip, I've got my behaviors right where I want them. Man, I'm building an abundant life right now. I'm building a life that is full of love and joy and peace. I'm building a life that is full of power and purpose. That's the life that I'm building. I've got those behaviors. Or maybe you say, that's not what I have. I've got some behaviors that are cycling fear and anxiety. I've got some behaviors that are cycling selfishness and greed. I've got some behaviors that aren't really giving me the life that I want to build. Maybe today you got enthusiasm. You got the spirit on the inside of you, working powerfully in you, working powerfully through you. Or maybe today you say, nah, it's not really where I'm at. Maybe today you got strategies for this week and strategies for the rest of 2019, and you got a Bible reading plan and a prayer plan, and you've already decided you're going to lead a group, and you're serving on a team here, and you've got strategies for your spiritual growth and development. You've already got those strategies. Or maybe you're like, nah, not me. It's not where I am. Not where I am. Maybe today you're in the room and you're like, man, I've got my thinking, I've got my eyes fixed on Jesus. I've got my thoughts on those things that are admirable and pure and excellent and worthy of praise. I've got my mind fixed on the right things. Or maybe today you would say, that's not where I am. I got so much junk in my mind. I got so much dysfunction in the way that I think about myself and the way that I think about God, the way that I think about my past and my future. I don't know where you are today on this journey, but I know where I want to be. I want to be in the place where I'm doing my best. I'm ready to get my behaviors in alignment. I'm ready to get my enthusiasm in alignment. I'm ready to get my strategies and my thoughts. I'm ready to get them in alignment so I can live out the assignment that God has. And you know, the assignment that God has is that you would live in faith, that you would live in love, and that you would live in peace. That's the assignment that God has over your life. And so you've got to get in alignment when it comes to the best so that you can live out the assignment that God has for you in this life. You say, Pastor Phil, today I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to do my best, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're facing right now. You say, I want to do my best. I'm ready to get in alignment so that I can live out that assignment of living in faith, love, and peace. That's what I want to do in my life. If that's you today, come on, just shoot your hand up in the air and say, that's me. I'm ready to get in alignment today. I want to do my best. I'm ready to get my behaviors in alignment, my enthusiasm in alignment, my strategies in alignment. I'm ready to get my thoughts in alignment so I can have the life that God wants me to have. And that is a life of faith, love, and peace. Father, I thank you for that today. God, I want to do my best today. I want to do my best. Come on, everybody in the room, would you just say this quick prayer with me before we wrap up today? Say this after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I know I need you today. I need your love and grace. I need your power and strength. I declare, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my hope and everything that I need. And I am ready to do my best. I'm ready to get in alignment so that I can live out the assignment you have for my life. Father, right now, I thank you for every single person in this room. God, I thank you for those that lifted up their hand today and said, I want to do my best, regardless of where I am in the journey. I want to do my best so that I can have what God wants me to have. And Father, I pray as we walk out this journey of excellence, God, let it be the X factor in our acceleration. Let these last 4 months of 2019 be 4 months of us accelerating into joy, accelerating into peace, accelerating into love, accelerating into faith, because we decided on September 1st, 2019, we decided I'm going to do my best to live excellent in all of these areas, so that I can accelerate into God's best for my life. Come on, if you believe that this morning, put your hands together.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.